I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa. In the headlines, National Petroleum Authority debunks reports of LPG shortage. Public service workers urged to increase productivity to sustain single spine pay structure. Foreigners in retail business to be pursued. Gambian woman elected chief prosecutor for ICC. And Canada withdraws from Kyoto Protocol on climate change. First, a summary by Ibrahim Kwarten.
The Public Relations Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, NPA, Yaruka Sambata, says there is no shortage of LPG in the country. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Kasambata stated that the fact that some filling stations have temporarily run out of the commodity does not mean the product is in short supply. The Deputy Minister of Employment and Social Welfare, Entribu Osiako-Setre, says the implementation of the single spine salary structure has increased the wage bill of government from 1 billion to 4 billion Ghana cedis. Speaking at the 8th Quadrennial Delegates Conference of the Public Services Workers Union in Kumasi, the Deputy Minister stated that until there is considerable improvement in productivity of public sector workers, the new pay policy may not be sustained. Government, in collaboration with the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, is to revive the Ghana Trade and Investment Tax Force to check the activities of foreigners in the retail sector of the economy. This follows an increase in the activities of foreigners in the retail sector in recent years. This came up at a meeting between the Vice President, John Dramani Mahama, and the leadership of GUTA at the Castle Osu. And a Gambian woman, Fatima Bensouda, has been elected chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. She takes over from Luis Moreno Ocampo in June next year. Madame Bensouda, a deputy prosecutor of the ICC, was the only name that came up to the 120 member states in yesterday's election at the UN headquarters.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
The news in detail. The Public Relations Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, NPA, Yaruka Sambata, says there is no shortage of LPG in the country. He said although some gas filling stations have temporarily run out of the commodity, it is not nationwide. Mr. Kasambata allayed fears of sections of the public on an imminent shortage of gas as the Yule tide approaches. He spoke to Kingsley Obenchere on Behind the News.
The information we are gathering is that, well, these are a couple of isolated, you know, cases. You can have a station running out of LPG. It is normal, okay, for a station to run out of LPG. But we have to go beyond just the station claiming that they have short LPG or there is no LPG on the market. They have to tell the individual what are the causes of these shortages, because you can have more than one reason why a station will run out of LPG. One of it will be, for example, that particular station may owe the oil marketing company.
Assuming it's one or two filling stations, is it not likely to start pressing the panic buttons and then, you know, the way people rush because somebody has said we are running out of gas again?
It is possible that some consumers may also resort to panic buying. What we are saying at this stage is that there is no LPG shortage in the country. As I speak to you now, Ghana has enough stock in our storage to at least accommodate our peak consumption for 1 week. So we cannot have LPG shortage now. We cannot. If there are isolated cases of shortages in stations, those can be investigated to know what are the real causes in those peculiar cases. But as a country, there is no shortage of the product.
You mentioned 1 week. week, and assuming that you know the way things go and vehicles are also using it, people will be traveling much more around this period. Does that mean that it's likely to also run out, assuming people decide
to? No. I mean, what we have said in the past, that at any stage our national capacity can hold us for a little over a week. So that is your national capacity. And so I'm telling you right now, what we have is what the country can store for at least a week, and that is your national capacity.
The Yaro of the National Petroleum Authority, Yaro Kasambata, the public relations officer of the Ghana National Fire Service, Billy Anaglati, enumerated ways the public can handle LPG to forestall gas leakages and potential accidents.
When it is said that there's going to be shortage, we will see people buying a lot of LPG in their cylinders, in their storage, even in their homes, at times people even in their bedrooms. What the situation is that because some of the people do not have proper storage capacity, they try to push LPG even under their bed and they turn the cylinder. When you turn the cylinder, LPG stores under pressure, there could be a leakage in the room that could still cause fire. What we expect that the cylinders must be stored outside the kitchen. Preferably it should be within an open air so that when you even have the leakage, the air or the wind would dissipate the concentration of it. That's why we advise that you can make a cage or whatever behind your kitchen where the cylinder itself will be there. Then you can connect it with the hoses to the cooker in the kitchen. What normally happens is that even if you are in the kitchen and you are cooking and there is fire in the kitchen, definitely every normal human being will run out of the kitchen. When you get out of the kitchen, you run outside where the cylinder is. When you turn the cylinder off or the knob on the cylinder off, it means that you have cut off the gas supply to this fire and the fire will begin to go off. Okay. That is the first point of trying even to fight that fire.
Purposes of education, can you give us your numbers again in case of emergency?
I have an emergency number which is 192. 192 is a toll-free number with our headquarters, that's the control room. We have 0302-772-446. 0302-772-446.
You heard Billy Anaglati of the Ghana National Fire Service. Government says its wage bill on emoluments for public sector workers has sharply increased from about 1 billion Ghana cedis to about 4 billion Ghana cedis following implementation of the single spine salary pay policy last year. It says about 98% of all public sector workers have so far been successfully migrated onto the new pay structure. The Deputy Minister of Employment and Social Welfare, Nchibuisi Akosekere, who disclosed this in Kumasi, noted that unless there is a considerable improvement in the productivity of workers in the sector, the single spine pay policy might not be sustainable. The Deputy Minister was addressing the opening of the 8th Quadrennial Delegates Conference of the Public Services Workers Union, PSWU. Our correspondent, Nicholas Osewusu, has filed this report.
The Deputy Minister of Employment and Social Welfare, Nchibuisi Akosekere, announced that the Management and Productivity Institute has been charged to produce a guide for government to effectively measure the performance of the public service. Also, the Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare, in association with some social partners in the Tripartite Committee, will organize seminars and workshops to build the capacity of the leadership of organized labor and management of personnel in the public sector to deepen understanding of the workings of the labor law. This will help minimize illegal strikes in the country. He said government has budgeted for the construction of a labor office complex next year to house the labor department, factories inspectorate division, and the fair wages and salaries commission. The deputy minister commended organized labor for their cooperation with government, even in the face of challenges in the implementation of the single spine salary structure. The secretary general of the Ghana Trades Union Congress, Kofi Asamoah, said though the public service is a major employer and provider of business and social services, it is bedeviled with problems such as poor remuneration and unsatisfactory service delivery which affect enterprise development. He lauded government initiative to link public sector pay to productivity and pledged the TUC's support for the initiative. The outgoing General Secretary of the Public Services Workers Union, ATD Okine, disclosed that 22 out of the 31 affiliate institutions of the union are now on the new pay policy. He said the union has successfully negotiated for a review of the grading of 11 of those which have been migrated, while awaiting a response from the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission on a similar request for 7 other affiliate institutions, including the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. He commended the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission for its management of the implementation of the new pay policy.
That was a report from Nicholas Asebusu in Kumasi. Government and the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, have agreed to revive the Ghana Trade and Investment Task Force to check the activities of foreigners in the retail sector of the economy. These foreigners come into the country as investors, but end up in the retail sector, which is by law reserved for Ghanaians only. The task force will comprise the police, immigration, the Ghana Revenue Authority, Ghana Investment Promotion Center, and GUTA. The meeting also discussed the high import duties, increase in VAT from 3% to 6% as announced in the 2012 budget, exchange rate, and interest rate. Briefing journalists after a meeting at the Kasulusu, Vice President John Dramani Mahama, who presided, called for a quarterly review of the issues discussed.
The meeting has brought all of us together on the same wavelength again to understand what the challenges that the Ghanaian private retail sector is experiencing and see how together with government we can create a platform for addressing those challenges in order that our people are also able to earn an income and be able to look after their families and also be able to discharge their responsibilities to the state in terms of their obligation in respect of taxes and so on and so forth. I'm sure that we all are re-inspired to put our shoulders to the wheel to see how we can resolve the issues that were raised, especially in respect of the retail sector and the foreign invasion of the markets and other small retail business, but also in terms of issues to do with duties and taxes and value-added tax and interest rates and exchange rate stability and all that. What I believe we should do going forward is to have a review quarterly of the progress we make on these issues so that if something is going wrong, we can quickly correct it before it accumulates and becomes the kind of thing that forces traders to go out on the streets to demonstrate. And so I hope we'll all put our shoulders to the wheel with commitment to be able to make this new understanding we have work.
Vice President John Mahama. The president of GUTA, George Ofori, was happy government offered to meet them and listen to their concerns. He said GUTA will partner government to find a lasting solution to the issues discussed. This is because they want to remain in business and contribute to national development.
On behalf of my own self and the entire executives and of course my membership nationwide, we will say that we also appreciate the concern that we raised and the way you also attached the important solution to the problem that we have raised. I would say that within your tight schedule, at least time has been made for us at the short possible time that we requested for a meeting with you. And I believe strongly that if we are always in touch discussing issues of national importance and some of these things, I think all of us will actually enjoy the benefit of our seeds that we have sowed. So I believe that we should not let this meeting be, a 9-day wonder, but should be a movement of a concrete plan. And we believe that any time that you call us, we are prepared to come and enjoy Joe, because we believe in Joe more than to war. But then if we sometimes push the wall, that is where you will find us wanting, because nobody will actually push the wall. And then if those things happen, that is where you will find us backing, you know, because we don't want our businesses also to collapse. So we believe that with the kind of attention that you have shown, you will continue to do that. And we also prepare to assist you in whatever you want to do.
You heard the president of GUTA, George Ofori. The 2012 presidential candidate for the United Front Party, Kwesi Adai, says the party will take the country by surprise by winning next year's elections. According to him, the party has put in place all the necessary structures to ensure its victory. speaking to Felix Kofi, Mr. Adani said he has already appointed Henry Edubotio, a businessman, as his running mate. He said nominations for parliamentary aspirants will be open early next year.
We position ourselves in a very good manner that we believe the way the youth are putting to our party, the prospects are very high.
Are you confident of winning the 2012 elections?
By God's grace, we are not going to settle for anything less than that, the president. And we are going all out to make sure we get to our set goals.
Is your party fielding parliamentary candidate in all the 230 constituencies?
We are going to open nominations by January so that at the moment we have so many names. A lot of people have come on board to vie for the various parliamentary seats, but we have to go through the formal proceedings. So we shall be opening our nominations for the parliamentary elections, and hopefully, I think by January, if all things go, we're going to do that.
2012 presidential candidate for the United Front Party, Kwesi Adaeye. The General Secretary of the NPP, Kwejo Osefuye, says the resignation of 2008 NPP presidential running mate, Dr. Mahmoud Bahoumia, from the African Development Bank, is to enable him to make time to assist the party win the 2012 elections. He said the NPP has employed the all-hands-on-deck strategy to win next year's elections. Speaking to Radio Ghana's Felix Kofi, he said the resignation of Dr. Bahoumia does not imply he has been named running mate to Nana Akufo-Addo.
The position has not been given to anybody, as far as I'm concerned. And therefore, if indeed it is true that he has resigned, then it is only for him to be able to tell you why he did. But of course, in our party, we have this position of all hands on deck. And therefore, I believe that every true member of our party ought to get himself or herself involved in that process. It is a project for all of us that we all would have to win the 2012 election. And therefore, we do not intend to leave anybody out of that equation. And so for me, if Bahoumia indeed has resigned his position from the ADP, and that he's coming also to join us, all of us have been already working towards that project. It is welcome. And so if anything is the contrary, I am not aware. And I can tell you that if the position becomes given to anybody, I certainly would be in the know. Now, Nana Akufo-Addo is seriously working in the northern regions of Ghana, from where he would move then to the Volta region and then end the tour on the 18th of this month. And so Nana Akufo-Addo, in doing so, is focused on that singular project. He is not, as it were, being said whatsoever by this running mate saga. And so that continues to remain the position.
His name has come up in the media as among those leading to contest the vice presidential slot for Nana Akufo-Addo. Doesn't his resignation also put some sort of fuel in the media speculation?
In 2008, Bahoumia's name was not one of the names that were doing wrong, and yet he got it. The names that were doing wrong then, as I remember, I recall, Padia Lima, Boniface, Jawula, the Metro TV's man, Haruna. Their names were all bandied about. And yet, when Nana Akufo-Addo came to announce to the National Council the person that he chose, it fell on the Bahoumia, whose name had never surfaced anyway. And so, for me, the fact that people's names are being bandied about does not necessarily mean that they will get the nod. Look, just as Nana Akufo-Addo did in 2008. And therefore, we should leave the process entirely in the hands of Nana Akufo-Addo. It is not because people's names have been mentioned. So, if you have three or four persons also resigning their position to come and help, then it means that all the four have been given the position.
Mr. Efuye said Nana Akufo-Addo has up to the first quarter of next year to name his running mate. Therefore, the media speculations do not in any way put pressure on the party or its flag bearer. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: National Petroleum Authority debunks reports of LPG shortage. Public service workers urged to increase productivity to sustain single spine pay structure. Foreigners in retail business to be pursued. Gambian woman elected chief prosecutor of ICC, and Canada withdraws from Kyoto Protocol on climate change. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
Welcome back. Deputy Minister of Education Mahama Ayaraga has directed district education directors in the three regions of the north to take tougher action against teachers who fail to go to the classroom. This follows the poor performance of BECE students in some districts in the three regions. Speaking to Radio Ghana's Felix Kofi, Mr. Ayaraga said the ministry has also asked the district assemblies to extend electricity to areas which do not have them to enable children to learn at night. On the call by the Commissioner of Human Rights and Administrative Justice, Loretta Lamte, for government to increase the capitation grant from 4 Ghana cedis to 7 Ghana cedis, Mr. Ayaraga said government will study the documents from SRAJ for such proposal. The Ministry of Employment and Social Welfare, the Minister of Employment and Social Welfare, E.T. Mensah, says though child labor is a major problem in the country, it does not provide a justification for non-governmental organizations to exaggerate the extent of the menace to foreign donors for financial assistance. He said such negative projections put government in a bad light, as well as stifle efforts by stakeholders to fight child labor. The minister made a statement at a national stakeholders validation workshop in Accra. Ibrahim Kwarteng was there for Radio Ghana and has filed this report.
The 2010 ILO report on child labor indicates that 200 million children worldwide are engaged in child labor. Out of the number, Africa has a staggering 50 million, with one out of every four children engaged in hazardous activity. In Ghana, many children continue to be dragged into the menace for various reasons. Nevertheless, the commitment of the government and other stakeholders in the labor industry, particularly the International Labor Organization, ILO, in addressing the problems of child labor knows no bounds. The National Plan of Action on the Elimination of the Worst Forms of Child Labor, the development of child labor monitoring systems, and other legislations that protect children from hazardous forms of work have been put in place by government to tackle the menace. Indeed, it is in recognition of these efforts that Ghana has been elected as a member of the ILO Governing Board. Despite these interventions, there is more work to do on eliminating the canker from the country. The Minister of Employment and Social Welfare, E.T. Mensah, was not happy that instead of helping in the national effort at tackling child labor, some NGOs see these problems as an opportunity to paint a gloomy picture of the menace to solicit funds for their selfish activities.
Ibrahim Kwarteng reporting. Two Accra Academy senior high students, Benjamin Edusu, 19, and Francis Akweobing, 18, have been remanded in police custody for robbing a shop at Jowlu. The two robbed the shop attendant of items worth 13,830 Ghana cedis and cash of 1,130 Ghana cedis. Two of their accomplices, Richard Anani and Brahima Mohammed, also students of the school, are at large. The defense pleaded that Benjamin and Francis should be granted bail because they innocently followed the two accomplices who invited them to an unknown destination. This was, however, not taken by the trial judge, Justice Eric Chebafor, and remanded them. A report on juvenile justice systems launched in Accra states that children suffer more cruelty in juvenile justice institutions than perceived. The report states that younger children are beaten and deprived of food by older children in remand homes. The lead researcher and consultant to the study, Susan Sabah, said inmates of juvenile justice institutes are sometimes locked up in dark, smelly, mosquito-infested cells as punishment for wrongs committed. The study, which was supported by Plan Ghana and the Department of Social Welfare, was conducted between June and August last year. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
The rest of the news. Gambia's Fatima Bensouda has been formally elected Chief Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. Bensouda was the only name put to the 120 member states in yesterday's election at the UN headquarters. Diplomats who took part in the selection process praised Madame Bensouda's independence, determination and qualifications. Madame Bensouda, currently deputy prosecutor, will take over in June from Louise Moreno Campo. She has pledged her commitment to ensure that atrocious crimes committed against humanity are prevented.
I remain committed, as I have been all my life. I will remain committed to the mandate of international criminal justice, but particularly the mandate as the next prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. And together we would fight impunity. We would do our best to ensure these atrocious crimes that continue to be committed are prevented.
Madame Bensouda's appointment comes at a time when Africa seems to be the main focus of the ICC, as all seven cases investigated by the court are from the continent. She disagrees with this assertion and says the ICC is rather working for Africa and victims of crime.
Of course, I have my strong views about this saying that ICC is targeting Africa or African leaders, which I do not agree with. I think ICC is working for Africa and with African victims. And I don't think any of us can deny that the crimes, the atrocities that are happening in Africa are crimes that fall within the jurisdiction of the ICC. And we have only moved based on the legal limits that we have under the Rome Statute.
Newly elected ICC Chief Fatima Bensouda. Canada will formally withdraw from the Kyoto Protocol on Climate Change. The Minister of Environment, Peter Kent, said the protocol does not represent a way forward for Canada, and the country would face crippling fines for failing to meet its targets. The move, which is legal and expected, makes it the first nation to pull out of the global treaty. The protocol, initially adopted in Kyoto, Japan in 1997, is aimed at fighting global warming. Mr. Kent said the cost of meeting Canada's obligations under Kyoto would cost $13.6 billion and severely affect the incomes of families. The funeral of the late Amonkwete, who died in October, will be held this Friday, 16th of December, at the forecourt of the State House. A statement from the family says there will be no wake. The body will lie in state on Thursday, 15th December, at his residence at La Abomey. The late Amonkwete designed the Ghana coat of arms. He was enlisted in the Royal West Africa Frontier Force during World War II in 1942 and worked in the cartographical division of the army. The late Amonkwete studied art in London School of Painting and Graphic Art from 1949 to 1952 before returning to work in the Gold Coast in 1952 and the Gold Coast Government Printing Press. The late Amonkwete was 96 years old. And Ibrahim Fassin with editorials of today's papers.
The Ghanaian Times expresses worry over the conduct of some police officers, which goes to dent the image of the service. Commenting on the recent report of a survey by the Ghana Integrity Initiative, which ranks the police service as the most corrupt institution in the country, the Times calls on the Inspector General of Police to accept the challenge and work together with its administration to rid the service of miscreants whose activities continue to give the otherwise noble profession a bad name. The Daily Graphic discusses the growing number of youths engaged in negative activities, citing the case of two students of Accra Academy who have been remanded in prison custody for alleged robbery. The paper believes much needs to be done in molding the youth to cultivate positive values and skills that rule the world today. The paper advises the youth to take advantage of the many modules under the National Youth Employment Program to get themselves busy in productive ventures. Those were editorials of the papers presented by Ibrahim Kwatin.
Find the news, the main points again. The Public Relations Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, Yaro Kasambata, says there is no shortage of LPG in the country. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Kasambata stated that the fact that some filling stations have temporarily run out of the commodity does not mean the product is in short supply. The Deputy Minister of Employment and Social Welfare, Chibuikiako Sekere, says the implementation of the single spine salary structure has increased the wage bill of government from 1 billion to 4 billion Ghana cedis. Speaking at the 8th Quadrennial Delegates Conference of the Public Services Workers Union in Kumasi, the Deputy Minister stated that until there is considerable improvement in productivity of public sector workers, the new pay policy may not be sustained. And the Gambian woman, Fatima Bensouda, has been elected Chief Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. She takes over from Luis Moreno Campo in June next year. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.